Srimad Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Gopremanandi. So what did we discuss last week? What's that? What about the class we did on Monday?
Yeah, we discussed the Damodar Lila. We started with the Damodar Lila. We discussed, it was said that the highest ras is the Damodar Lila in Vatsalya ras. One of the pastimes, the highest Vatsalya ras pastime is Damodar Lila. And anything that Krishna does, from the mundane perspective, it might look absurd, but however, it gives pleasure to the devotees from the transcendental space, like begging the pot or whatever it is. It gives pleasure to Yashoda mother, Mother Yashoda. That was discussed. Another major point that was the difference between the yogi and the devotee. So, the characteristic of Sudralabha was discussed, Vedishu, Sudralabha, and Mukteshu.
Good. Anything else? Okay, so tonight we'll continue with Damodar Lila. We'll finish chapter 9, which is verses 13 to 22. So we're hearing the very famous pastime of how Krishna steals the yogurt from Mother Yashoda and is chased by her and is ultimately caught, and how the pastime leads to him releasing Manigriva and Nalakravara from the Yamalajun trees. So the famous pastime, every Kartik we sing about this in the Dhammadharashtika. So we'll continue. Tomorrow night is the closed book exam, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning and no end, no exterior and no interior, no front and no rear. In other words, he is all-pervading because he is not under the influence of the element of time. For him, there is no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times. Being absolute, beyond relativity, he is free from distinctions between cause and effect. Although he is the cause of everything, that unmanifest person, who is beyond the perception of the senses, had now appeared as a human child, and Mother Yashoda, considering him her own ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. So, Jai Jagannath, let's read.
Krishna is described as the Supreme Brahman, Param Brahma Param Dham. The word Brahma means the greatest. Krishna is greater than the greatest, being unlimited and all-pervading. How can it be possible for the all-pervading to be measured or bound? Then again, Krishna is the time factor. Therefore, he is all-pervading not only in space, but also in time. We have measurements of time, but although we are limited by past, present, and future, for Krishna, these do not exist. Every individual person can be measured, but Krishna has already shown that although he is also an individual, the entire cosmic manifestation is within his mouth. All these points considered, Krishna cannot be measured. How then did Yashoda want to measure him and bind him? We must conclude that this took place simply on the platform of pure transcendental love. This was the only cause. Everything is one, but because Krishna is the supreme cause of everything, Krishna cannot be measured or calculated by Vedic knowledge. He is available only to devotees. Devotees can handle him because they act on the basis of loving service. Thus, Mother Yashoda wanted to bind
him. Okay. So what are the points there?
Time and space.
So what does that mean? So what does that mean?
There's no time factor for action.
What else does it mean?
Limitless. He's limitless.
Yep. And what else does it mean? Who is he? Bhagwan. He's God. Unlimited. Huh? So this unlimited person is right in front of Mother Yashoda. Huh? And crying and in fear of Mother Yashoda. We'll hear about this as we go through this chapter. So, any other points?
The transcendental love is made. Lord is bound only for that love, pure love, as a pure devotee. Not the characteristics of devotional service which we saw before. Sudhurlabha. So he is bound only for that pure devotion. Here we can see Mother Yashoda is displaying that she is being, you know, at the highest position of the Vatsalyas. So he's bound for that love, not for anything else.
Anything else? So we're hearing in this pastime that God is conquered by one thing. What is he conquered by?
No.
Yeah, prema. Prema, pumata, mahan. So Lord Chaitanya teaches us the ultimate goal, the fifth purusharta, or the ultimate goal of life, is to have love of God. Lord Chaitanya has divided the Vedas into three categories. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So Lord Chaitanya taught Sanatana Goswami, Krishna, Sambandha. To understand what is Sambandha, you must understand Krishna, Krishna Tattva. That Krishna is everything. He is everything, but he's also different from everything. So you must understand Krishna Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Shakti Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, Shiva Tattva. All the Tattvas must be understood. Then you understand Sambandha Gyan. This is Krishna Sambandha. Then, Bhakti Abhideya. Abhideya means how do we connect to God? How do we become connected to Him? Through Bhakti Yoga. So Bhakti is the Abhideya or the process in which we connect to God. And Rupa Goswami describes there are 64 types of Bhakti. 64 items or ways that you can connect to God. So those 64 are based on the 9, which are given by Sri Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam. So those 7, they expand to 64. Those 9, they come from the 4 that Krishna mentions in the Gita. Mammana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. So then those 4 come, the 9 come the 64. So these are the processes of how to connect to God, to Krishna. That is called bhakti. That is the Abhideya. That is the process. So if without bhakti, you cannot connect to Krishna. And the goal is, Krishna is the sambandhi. He is the object of devotion. Bhakti is the process of devotion. The goal of devotion is sajja. Sajja means prema. That means the ultimate goal. It means we must develop love for Krishna. Now, why does Mother Yashoda control Krishna? Because she has pure, Shuddha, Vatsalya Prema. Or she loves Krishna in the mood of a mother. She is Krishna's mother. And because she has that Prema, that conquers Krishna. Because Krishna could not be conquered under any other circumstance, in this circumstance. There's only someone who has unlimitedly pure Prema in a particular mood that Krishna reciprocates with this love, with this personality. So we see that because of her pure Vatsalya, Vatsalya means she is smiling. We'll see as the pastime goes on. She's trying to wrap up Krishna. So she gets a rope and she puts it around. Just like you see Chaitanya Priya. So very chota. Choti means very small. So how much rope would it take? Prabhupada says 2 foot of rope to get around. There's not much. But she goes around with that 2 foot, but it's 2 fingers too short. So she gets a bigger rope, does it again, but still, inconceivably, it's 2 fingers too short. So they bring her, and then one of the ropes she uses is 150 foot long. But when they try to put it around, then it is short. So she's mystified. How can this be taking place? So Krishna, because he sees her love, and she has that mood of love, then he reciprocates. He says, okay, you can bind me. Even though it's not possible to wrap a rope around the infinite. But I will allow you to do it because you have the love. So it is that prema. So without developing prema or love for Krishna, it means sure that prema is nothing of this world. Chaitanya Charitamrita says prema is Krishna Indriya Priti. It means Krishna Indriya. Indriya means the senses. Krishna's senses. When you want to please his senses, Priti means with love, to please his senses, with affection, then that is the definition of prema, or love for Krishna. I want Krishna to be happy. Atma indriya, when you want your atma means yourself, your indriya, your senses, when you want them to be happy, when you want to satisfy yourself, that is the definition of kama. Kama means lust. Lust means selfishness. So by that definition, as long as you have lust in your consciousness, you cannot attract Krishna fully. What to speak of bind him or conquer him. But when you have prema, a love for Krishna, which means selflessness, then Krishna becomes attracted, he becomes conquered by the devotee. Otherwise, it's not possible. Krishna cannot be conquered under any circumstances. So he's only allowing because she has pure vatsalya prema. It's prema, but it's not an ordinary type of prema. So everyone in the spiritual world has prema. But they cannot conquer Krishna like Mother Yashoda can. You'll see in this section, she's considered much more exalted than everyone else. The only person who really surpasses Yashoda is Radharani and those devotees. But in Vatsalya Bhav, she is the topmost devotee. She conquers Krishna. And Prabhupada says, what is the goal of Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada says, the goal of Krishna consciousness is to take Krishna by the hand and lead him, just like Mother Yashoda does. Prabhupada says, that is the goal. When you have so much love for Krishna that you can take him by the hand and he will follow you. But if you don't have love, then Krishna will not allow you to control him. Because right now, if we control Krishna, what will we do? We'll say, fill up my bank account, give me a car, give me a wife, give me 50 wives. Right? These are the things that will come into our head. We'll say all these things, and therefore Krishna will not allow. Why would he let you control him? He's just like an ATM. Just someone who's supposed to fulfill your material desires. So there's no possibility. So Krishna will only reciprocate. Yaya tamam prapajanti tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As you reciprocate. If you are pure, then I will give you pure reciprocation. If you are motivated, I will deal with you the same way. So the choice is ours. So there's nice pastimes that take place. Have I told the pastime yet about when Krishna, the gopis are one of the elder gopis. She keeps telling Mother Yashoda Krishna is coming to steal the butter. She says to Mother Yashoda, he's coming to take the butter. And she said, he wouldn't do that. I said, no, I'll prove it to you. So one day she goes in and he's in the house and he's taking her butter and yogurt. So she grabs him and says, now I've got you. I'll take you to Mother Yashoda. So she takes him to Mother Yashoda. And she goes in and she says, just see, I've got him. Mother Yashoda looks and says, what do you mean? And when she looks down, it's not Krishna, it's her son. And she's very, she's confused, bewildered. Mother Yashoda says, I don't understand. What's going on? So she walks out and she walks out outside around the corner. She looks down again, that's Krishna. And then Krishna says, if you ever do that again, next time I'll turn into your husband. So Krishna cannot be controlled by anyone. Only like someone like Mother Yashoda, he'll allow himself to become completely controlled by. Another pastime is when at Varshana, Krishna and the boys, they jump through the window And they're eating all the yogurt and the butter and everything. And Krishna's friend Madhumangala, he jumps through, but he is a little big. So he jumps through and he eats too much, and then when he tries to get out, he can't get out. So all the boys jump out of the window. And they're outside and they're trying to pull Madhumangala. But then the gopis, they come from the other side with a stick and they're hitting him on the back. So then when he gets out, then he curses all of them. He says, all of you, because you've done this, I curse you, you will not have husbands. All your husbands will be very old and you'll have many co-wives with many children. So gopis become very scared. They say, no, don't curse us, what can we do? So Madhumangala says, you give me 1 million ladus and your offense will be destroyed. So that place, you go to that place, and Madhumangala sits there and they feed him 1 million ladus and he takes the 1 million. And then they're relieved and he says, okay, now I'm satisfied. No offense. There's so many pastimes are taking place amongst Krishna and the gopis. Any points? Yeah.
We understand even from Rajan Prabhu immediately also that there are different layers and stages of what Kadiyaras, and where Yashoda, Mother Yashoda is topmost and then others come down, right? But in this case, how do we understand if it's prema, it's prema? Like, for example, the last time you related where the gopi took Krishna. So that's another rush that the gopi is enjoying with Krishna. So that exchange is going on. So in this connection, prema is at one level, is prema, right? Is same, right? But how do we understand in the other sense that he's controlled only, he can be controlled only by one?
It's too late. You have to come earlier than this. Why do you come late? Do you have a reason? Now then you can't come. So that's not a good enough excuse. Come on time or don't come.
So the question was like, if it's prema, prema bhakti is one level, and I see that as a pure love that's been...
No, but then if you look in this world, if you look at the way the mother loves the child, so no one can love the child like the mother can love the child. So no one can love like Mother Yashoda loves Krishna. So they all have Vatsalya Prema. All the elderly gopis in Vrindavan, they have Vatsalya, but no one loves like Mother Yashoda loves. Because she's the mother of Krishna. Does it make sense? Yes, yeah, so it's like that. Any other point?
I have a question. You know how you can love Krishna in all those different ways, like a son or a friend or a love? Is the best way to love him then like a child? Like your child?
In the beginning, we love him like a servant loves the master. Just serve him like he's your master, he's your lord. Later on, he'll reveal those things. That's a few lifetimes away at this point.
I know, but my question was like, is it also when based on humans loving him, just normal people like us, when we get to that few lifetimes down? Is that the topmost way for us as well, or is it...
No, the topmost way is the way Radharani loves Krishna.
Okay.
That's the topmost. She's the topmost devotee. There's nothing that surpasses that love. Okay. Radharani is the highest devotee, even more than Mother Yashoda. Okay. Anything else? Okay. When Mother Yashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw that the binding rope was short by a distance of the width of 2 fingers. Thus she brought another rope to join to it. SKC.
Attempt to bind Krishna, added one rope after another, and ultimately.
in the transcendental love of Krishna, that doesn't mean that one can control Krishna. When Krishna is satisfied with one devotional service, he does everything himself. Seva bhakti jiva jiva dhav swayam eva kulyate adha. He devotes more and more to the devotee, that the devotee's advances and services. Jiva vadu. This service begins with the tongue, the chanting and the talking and taking the prasad of Krishna.
Any points?
If you have transcendental love for Krishna, then you still can't control Krishna. He has to give his mercy. Does it mean that no matter how much, whatever you do, still it all depends on Krishna?
Yeah. So because. Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I'll reward you accordingly. But it's up to him how he wants to act. But it states that he is controlled by prema. So when the feeling is correct, because what is Krishna like? Krishna is full of prema himself. He's full of love for his devotees. Of all of Krishna's qualities, which quality is the most significant? Bhaktivatsalya, what does that mean? Yeah, Bhaktivatsalya means he's attracted to his devotees. Vatsa means calf. Like, how does a cow feel about the calf? Right? She totally is controlled by the calf. In other words, her love is completely captured by the love of her calf. So Krishna is like that, Bhakta Vatsala. He feels like that. His bhaktas, his devotees are like his children. So he feels completely captured by them. So when they love, his heart melts. So that is Krishna's position. The only way you can conquer him is if you have that feeling. And because we all have feeling in our devotional service, when we do our devotional service with feeling, then Krishna becomes attracted to that. And when you have pure feeling and you feel towards Krishna in a particular way, that means in a relationship, then Krishna becomes attracted to that and conquered by that. But it's only when he wants to be.
So you can't have like A, B, C steps. If you do that, then you can conquer Krishna. It can be anything.
Yes and no, because A, B, C means, okay, chant the holy name. But how do you chant the holy name? That's the point. What is the quote? Prabhupada says in the 8th chapter of the first canto, the prayers of Queen Kunti, Prabhupada said there's a quality to the chanting. So how you chant, that will attract Krishna. Lord Chaitanya says when there are tears in the eyes, then that will attract Krishna. When there's feeling there, that will attract Krishna. So yes, there is a process, ABC. But it can't come mechanically. It has to come from softening of the heart and purification and love. But when you do that, yes, then you will attract Krishna. But even then, it depends on him when he wants to become attracted. Because he's a person. So he will test you. And now you're crying. Huh? Are these real tears? Or Now you're crying. But you're not crying enough. When your heart is separating, breaking, then he will... So it's up to him. He has very high standards. And he's very particular. He's rasika shekha, which means he's very particular about how he likes things. So he's very particular how you serve him, what you serve him, the way it's served. He's very particular.
Can you also understand this, like Krishna, or when we do service or love him, it should be unconditional? But when we are saying that if we do this, then Krishna will be attracted, that is a condition. So that means that we are putting a condition. And okay, if we are doing this ABC, that means Krishna will get attracted. So that means this ABC is a condition. Whereas our love for him or our service towards him should be unconditional.
So it means what is the motivation? That's the point. Yeah. So then Hari Sori Prabhu, he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said to Hari Saripur, he said, everything in Vrindavan is already prasadam. Before you buy it from the shop, before you even offer it, it's already prasadam. So then Hari Saripur said, so then why do we offer it? Because then Prabhupada said, because Krishna is hungry. So the point is, you cook the offering, right? You go in the kitchen, you cook the offering, right? If you're second initiation, so you do cook for the deities?
Yeah.
Sometimes, okay. So you're cooking, why are you cooking? You're cooking because you're thinking, I will get purified, or Krishna will become attracted to me. So this is motivated, right? But when you cook for Krishna, no, Krishna's hungry. That's what Mother Yashoda is thinking. Mother Yashoda is not thinking, I'll become purified, Krishna will be happy with me. No, she's just thinking, Krishna's hungry. That's it. So that is her consciousness. So that is selfless. Idam Krishna, idam na mama. This is not for me, this is for Krishna. That's what we say whenever we offer oblation to the fire. Idam Krishna, idam na mama. That is not for me, that is for Krishna. So that should be your motivation when you're doing the seva. So we have to elevate our consciousness. It takes a lot of practice. But the feeling is there. But find where that feeling is in the heart and just do it like that for Krishna. Progress rapidly because time is short. Any other points? So, the rope was two fingers too short. So what do the two fingers represent? Why wasn't it three fingers or four fingers? Why was it two? One is your endeavor. The other is Krishna's reciprocation. So these are the two fingers. So Mother Yashoda wanted, but Krishna has to reciprocate. So you can serve Krishna, but up until the point that Krishna reciprocates, then your service will be incomplete. So it takes both of those things. So Prabhupada gives the example in the Bhagavad Gita. There is the sparrow and there is Garuda. So we are the sparrow. It means we try and try and try to serve Krishna and please him. But it is up to Krishna when he wants to reciprocate. But he will see our endeavor. Man proposes, God disposes. That is the situation. So it was always two fingers too short. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Krishna has vibhuti shakti, which was vibhuti means like unlimited power. I mean, how do you tie a rope around something which is that powerful? He's so powerful, she couldn't tie him. And he's satya sankalpa shakti, was serving the vibhuti shakti. Satya sankalpa means, satya sankalpa, satya means like truth, sankalpa means like a vow, yeah. So like when Krishna like is determined to do something, like we take a vow, I will do this. Doesn't mean that much when we say it, I will do this. But when Krishna says it, when Krishna says, I will do this, satya sankalpa, that shakti, that energy, it's unstoppable. So what was Krishna's mentality? Krishna's mentality is, I'm not going to be bound up because then I can't do what I want to do. And what do I want to do? I want to run in every house in this village and steal all the yogurt and the butter. So I'm not going to allow myself to be bound up. That's why every time the rope came around, it was too short. Because I'm not going to be bound up. As soon as I get an opportunity, I'm just going to run into the house. And then what did we hear last week or the week before? He ran into one house to find the yogurt, and there was no yogurt there. So he said, I'm going to come back tomorrow, and if there's no yogurt, I'm going to burn the house down. Right? And one of the gopis ran in, and she saw him, and he said, thief! And he turned and he said, no, you are the thief. Like that. So that is his personality. So no way he was going to be bound up. They kept putting the rope around and I'm not going to be bound up. I'm just going to run and do what I want to do. But then he saw Mother Yashoda kept trying, and she's like, and she's looking at her friends, and her friends are just smiling. What's going on? We don't know what's going on. She's looking, I don't know what's going on. And then, but she's trying to bind out. And then he just says, okay, out of love, she sees he has love. So, okay, you want to do it? Bind me up. So she binds him up. She walks off. And then he says, okay, now I'll do something more naughty. You think stealing the butter was naughty? That's nothing. Right? Now I'm going to pull the trees down. You haven't seen anything yet. You think this is bad? You watch now. Right? That's Krishna. So he allowed her to bind like that. But actually, he cannot be bound. But out of reciprocation, then he said, okay, now I'll become bound. So, any points? Okay. Which one are we on? This new rope also was short by a measurement of 2 fingers. And when another rope was joined to it, it was still 2 fingers too short. As many ropes as she joined, all of them failed. The shortness could not be overcome. Thus, Mother Yashoda joined whatever ropes were available in the household. But still she failed in her attempt to bind Krishna. Mother Yashoda's friends, the elderly gopis in the neighborhood, were smiling and enjoying the fun. Similarly, when Mother Yashoda, although laboring in that way, was also smiling, all of them were struck with wonder. Taravali, you want to read them?
Actually, this incident was wonderful because Krishna was only a child with small hands. To bind him should have required only a rope, not more than 2 feet long. All the ropes in the house combined together might have been hundreds of feet long, but still he was impossible to bind, for all the ropes together were still too short. Naturally, Mother Yashoda and her gopi friends thought, how is this possible? Seeing this funny affair, all of them were smiling. The first rope was short by a measurement, the width of 2 fingers, and after the second rope was added, it was still two fingers too short. If the shortness of all the ropes were added together, it must have amounted to the width of hundreds of fingers. Certainly this was astonishing. This was another exhibition of Krishna's inconceivable potency to his mother and his mother's friends.
Anything here? So he is known as Rasika Shekhar. He likes to create rasa. Krishna is also known as Rasa Raja, the king of rasa. So he likes to make Mother Yashoda satisfied. So therefore he performs his pastime because she is smiling, she is enjoying it. Krishna likes everyone to enjoy constantly. So that's why we want to associate with Krishna, because we know if we're with Krishna, we'll always be happy. Because he's never boring. He always likes to make some lila. And actually, Sanatana Goswami gives the definition of this word lila. He says that lila means at the end of the pastime, there will be embrace. That is the definition of lila. When Krishna performs a lila, it means at the end of the pastime, there will be an embrace. When he's with the gopis, at the end of the pastime, they perform the rasa lila or any of the pastimes. At the end, there will be an embrace. With the cowherd boys, they will go out and wrestle and they'll perform all the pastimes. At the end, there will be embrace. When he's with Mother Yashoda, there will be so many pastimes, he will make so much pleasure for her by enacting all these lilas. At the end there will be, you'll see at the end of this pastime, there is embrace. So that is the definition of lila. The pastime will always end in embrace. So Krishna, he wants Mother Yashoda to enjoy. He wants all the devotees to enjoy. So he makes everything very interesting. So he's doing this whole pastime just so Mother Yashoda will enjoy. She's increasing her pleasure. he's increasing his pleasure. All the gopis are watching, they're increasing their pleasure. That's the reason he does every pastime. If he jumps on the hood of Kaliya, right, it is simply to make all the devotees happy, to increase their pleasure. Right? If he leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura, it is simply to increase the attachment of the devotees to Krishna. Yeah. Every pastime that he performs is simply for one reason, just to increase the pleasure, increase the attachment. So that's what he does. Right? Even in the Rasa Lila, we'll see this will be next year. Next year we'll study the Rasa Lila. So in the Rasa Lila, we will see that Krishna, he leaves the gopis. Why? Because he just wants to increase their attachment to him. He doesn't want to be separated from them, but he wants them to become more attached to him. So that's why he leaves. So Lord Chaitanya says, whether you handle me roughly by your embrace or make me broken-hearted. Sometimes Krishna, he tests us as devotees. Even we're not advanced devotees, but he tests us because he wants to see. He wants to increase your attachment. And the depth of your commitment to him. He's purifying us. That's what he does to all of his devotees, even in the spiritual world. He constantly increases their attachment. Sri Krishna Tanda Bhagavan, a key. Any points? Okay. Which one are we on? 18? Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When Child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. So, Jagan, you want to read it?
When Mother Yashoda and other ladies finally saw that Krishna, although decorated with many bangles and other jeweled ornaments, could not be bound with all the ropes available in the house, they decided that Krishna was so fortunate that he could not be bound by any material condition. Thus, they gave up the idea of binding him. But in competition between Krishna and his devotees, Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated. Thus, Krishna's internal energy, Yoga Maya, was brought to work and Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda.
What points are there?
It is said that Yoga Maya plays a very important role between a devotee to Krishna, between them. And we saw that in previous chapters as well in the same tempo, where how Yoga Maya came, was born in the other space and she was transferred and she helped for the birth of Krishna. Right? So even in any of the devotees' activities with Krishna, Yoga Maya will be serving Krishna in facilitating the pastime and thus increases the pleasure of the devotees and Krishna. And the service attitude of Yoga Maya is seen in every pastime.
Good. Anything else? So Krishna is showing his supremacy because she's trying to bind him, but she can't. It doesn't make sense. You know, you put a rope around someone, you know how long the rope is, but when you put the rope around, it doesn't bind. She starts thinking, well, he's obviously supreme. He's obviously this personality, which Garga Muni predicted, this Narayan-like personality. He's like a god. He is God, possibly. So she's in this mood of awe. Like, you know, who is he? He always does these things. Right? He kills demons. Even when he's a baby, he's killing demons. It's like supernatural personality. And she's thinking, who is he? But then by Yoga Maya, because her love for him is so strong, in the mood of a mother, she just becomes covered by that potency again. So her love is so strong, it just totally overrides everything. And this is the entire purport of the 10th canto and the Brij Basi's love for Krishna. Because we're meant to be following in the footsteps of the Vrindavan devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us that the highest devotees are the devotees in Vrindavan. And you can't understand their love unless you understand by studying these pastimes how they become so attached to Krishna that the mood of reverence becomes completely subordinated by their love. Even they see his God clearly in front of them, but it just becomes like inconsequential or secondary, or it becomes minute, or it becomes unimportant in terms of their relationship with Krishna. So that's the entire purport. If we understand this, we understand everything. If we don't understand it, you don't understand anything. Doesn't matter about your exam tomorrow night. Everyone's going to turn up. The reason there's not so many people here is because they're all going to come tomorrow. They're all going to do the exam. The exam doesn't mean anything if you don't understand your love for Krishna. That's the point. The exam is just some knowledge. The exam just makes us study the books. That's why Prabhupada gave us exams. He said, you have to examine the devotees. Like that too, it makes us study. Otherwise, no one reads it. We all know that. Right? I'm the only one who reads the books. Yeah. I read them and I come and tell everyone. Right, because everyone else is too busy. You know, maybe now the 10th canto people are reading, but you know, previous years, you say who? You know, say who? Put your hand up if you read the chapter. No one's read the chapter. So the only way that you will understand Krishna is when you learn to love Krishna. So that's the whole purport. If we miss this point, we miss everything. If we understand this point, we understand everything. So we have to develop our attraction to Krishna. That's the whole point. So Mother Yashoda, it's inconsequential. She's seen God right in front of her, but she thinks, oh, anyway, he's God, but I love him so much. You know, I will tie him up. You know, I don't want him to run around. He's causing too much problems. Like, it's just, it's a whole rasa which is taking place. So, any points? Okay. Where are we up to? 99. O Maharaj, Parikshit, the entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Lord Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. So, Akanda, you want to read them?
This pastime of Krishna is very difficult to understand. But devotees can understand it. It is therefore said, Drasyasyam tadvidam loka atmano bhakta vatsyatam. The Lord displays the transcendental attribute of coming under the control of his devotee, as stated in the Brahma Samhita. By his one primary portion as Paramatma, the Lord controls innumerable universes with all their demigods. Yet he agrees to be controlled by a devotee. In the Upanishad, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can run with more speed than the mind. But here we see that although Krishna wanted to avoid being arrested by his mother, he was finally defeated, and Mother Yashoda captured him. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambhava Sevya Vana. Krishna is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Nonetheless, he steals butter like one whose heart is stricken. Yamraj, the controller of all living entities, fears the order of Krishna. Yet Krishna is afraid of his mother's stick. These contradictions cannot be understood by one who is not a devotee. But a devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It is so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by an unalloyed devotee. This Bharti Vatsalya does not mean that he is under the control of the servant. Rather, he is under the control of servant's pure love. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Arjuna ordered him, Savior Ubhyo Madhye, Ratham Sthapya Me Achyuta. My dear Krishna, you have agreed to be my charioteer and to execute my orders, place my chariot between the two armies of soldiers. Krishna immediately executed this order. And therefore, one may argue that Krishna also is not independent. But this is once a jnana, ignorance. Krishna is always fully independent. When he becomes subordinate to his devotees, this is a display of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, the humor of transcendental qualities that increases his transcendental pleasure. Everyone worships Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore, he sometimes desires to be controlled by someone else. Such a controller can no one else but a pure devotee.
Good. So, what are the points there? Anything else?
Materialistic people cannot understand Krishna's pastime and how he behaves even when he is in the material world. Like they think that these pastimes, like they just cannot conceive it. Whereas only devotee has the eye or the consciousness to at least understand them or see what Krishna is willing or what he is doing. It's not able to understand Krishna's pastime without being a devotee.
Good. Something else? So Krishna is full of contradictions. Why? Because it makes it more pleasurable. Otherwise, life becomes very stagnant, very boring. In the material world, everything's very boring. You have people come up to you, how are you? Yeah, it's such a boring question. How are you? Well, you walk through the temple, you know, 10 people in a row. How are you? How are you? How are you? It just becomes boring. You know, so Krishna's not like that. He wants to make contradictions. And that's why he runs into the house, right? He steals the butter. You know, he's the richest boy in the entire village. His father's the king. That's what his mother says. His mother says, why do you do it? You have everything here. It's in your own house. You're the richest kid. You've got all the best things. We cook for you all day long. Right? We're just doing all of this for you, and then you'd rather go over there and run into the house and steal everything. And if you don't get what you want, then you pass urine on the floor and you pinch the babies on the way out, and then you run back. Right? And then when you get back, we say, where were you? And you say, oh, I was just, you know like that, and you lie straight to our faces. You know, you're the king of truth. Right? But then you're the biggest liar. Right? You're the richest man. You're the biggest thief. You know, it's just full of contradictions. Everything he does. I bet it just stirs up the rasa. It's much more pleasurable. All right? And that's why in Vrindavan, these things, they rule supreme. Because what is Krishna's relationship with the gopis? The relationship with the gopis is parakiya bhava, which means they're never married. Because in Dwarka, which we'll hear about later on, it is called Swakia. Swakia means it's married. So everyone knows Krishna's going to come home at night. He goes out during the day, goes to Sudama Assembly House as the Prince of Dwarka, and then he associates with all the devotees. Then he comes, and Satchabhama knows he's going to come home. Rukmini knows he's going to come home. So it takes the element of pleasure, it lessens it. You know? But Radharani, she doesn't know if she's going to meet Krishna. So that's why in Vrindavan, whenever there is an arrangement of marriage between Radha and Krishna, Yogamaya, who is Yogamaya in Vrindavan? Purnamasi. Purnamasi is the elder gopi. She wears white. She has white hair. She's like Jagatarini Mataji. It's like an elder gopi. Yeah. So then she comes and everyone listens to her. She is the mother of Sandipani Muni, who was Krishna's guru. So she's very respected. So she comes and she says, no marriage. Very inauspicious. Jyotish, everything, very inauspicious at the moment. No marriages this year. So everyone, Radha and Krishna cannot get married. So they cancel the whole thing. Next year we'll look at that like that. So she stops it every time because it will give Krishna greater pleasure because he doesn't know if he's going to meet Radharani or not. Even sometimes he runs into the night, he gets to the forest, he arrives, and then he's there and he looks around and the gopi said she couldn't make it tonight. She couldn't get out tonight. It was too difficult. And then he burst into tears. Where is she? And then she comes out from behind a tree. Right. So that's the way, it has to be contradictions, there has to be rasa, it's much more pleasant. So Krishna, he makes these things happen continuously. Right? That's why Prabhupada says all through the purport, he's the wealthiest person, but he steals. Right? He's the most honest person, but he lies. Right? Just it increases the pleasures. So this is Krishna. So you have to make a choice tonight. Do you want to keep worshipping this person? Or else you can go to the church down the road and you can worship the normal God. Go and become a Catholic nun. Worship the God who was normal. But this God, he is not well behaved. But on the other level, he's the most well behaved. So he contradicts himself continuously. Like when he's with the gopis, sometimes they have pastimes with him, like that. And they say one thing about him, but then the other is, it's exactly the opposite. He says, I am the most honest person. And they say, you're not the most honest person. But then when he, when the pastime unfolds, his vow is upheld because he is the most honest person. Or with Srimati Radharani, who is his female counterpart, then they question her chastity. Because there's always a rumor that she's associating with Krishna, even though she's apparently married to Abhimanyu. So then they say, if you can pick up a colander, colander means like if you go to the kitchen, the pot has 100 holes in it. So if you can pick up the Jamuna water and no water drops out, and you can carry that on your head, and then take that water and put it on Krishna, who has a headache, and then he will come back to consciousness, or he's unconscious, then we will know you're the most chaste person. So Radharani, in one sense, she's not the most chaste because she's having an affair with Krishna. But when it comes to picking up the water, she's the only one who can do it and the water does not drop out. Why? Because she is the most chaste because the only person she loves is Krishna. So there's contradictions all through. It gives greater pleasure to the pastimes. Also, I think the pastimes would be boring. We just read the Krishna book, Radharani's home cooking. Krishna comes home with the cows. She says, where have you been all day? You don't love me. You don't do anything for me anymore. When's the last time you gave me a flower garland? Like that. But there's no pleasure. So then he increases the pleasure. Right? So that's what Vrindavan is about. That's why it says, Vrindavan, everything is crooked. Right? Nothing is straight. Krishna himself is like that. Right, he doesn't stand like that in Dwarka. In Dwarka, he'll stand straight, but when he's in Vrindavan, right, not crook, not straight. Whatever he says to you, it's completely the opposite. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan, a key. Yeah. So, any points? Okay. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Lord, the Supreme Lord, can obtain the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. So Nila Gopi, you like to read them?
A comparative study between Mother Yashoda and other devotees of the Lord. He has stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the only Supreme Master is Krishna and all other are his servants. Krishna is the transcendental quality of Bhrutya Vasyata, becoming subordinate to his Bhrutya or servant. Now, although everyone is Bhrutya, and although Krishna has the quality of becoming subordinate to his Bhrutya, the position of Mother Yashoda is the greatest. Lord Brahma is Bhrutya, a servant of Krishna, and he is Adikavi, the original creator of this universe. Nonetheless, even he could not obtain such mercy as Mother Yashoda, as for Lord Shiva, he is the topmost Vaishnava. what to speak of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is the Lord's constant companion in service, since she always associates with his body. But even she could not get such mercy. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was surprised at thinking, what did Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj do in their previous lives, by which they got such a great opportunity, the opportunity to be the affectionate father and mother of Krishna. In this verse, there are three native pronouncements. Na, na, na. When anything is uttered three times, do it, do it, do it. One should understand that this is meant to indicate great stress on a fact. In this verse, we find na, levire, na, levire, na, levire. Yet, Mother Yashoda is in the supermost exalted position, and thus Krishna has become completely subordinate to her. The word Vimukti Dat is also significant. There are different types of liberation such as Sayujya, Salakya, Sarupya, Sastri and Samipya. But Vimukti means special Mukti. When after liberation one is situated on the platform of Prema Bhakti, one is said to have achieved Vimukti, special Mukti. Therefore, the word Na is mentioned. That exalted platform of Prema is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Prema Pumardo Mahan. And Mother Yashoda naturally acts in a such an exalted position in loving affairs. She is therefore Nitya Siddha devotee, an expansion of Krishna's Kladini potency. His potency to enjoy transcendental bliss through expansions who are special devotees. Such devotees are not Sadhana Siddha.
So any points there?
Sadhana, no one can take the position of Mother Yashoda. Even though how much we can endeavor, but this, the position of Mother Yashoda is a special position. So we cannot comprehend to take that position or by ourselves.
Anything else?
Kishore, what does it mean to say the three negative pronouns, when anything is given three times, do it, do it, do it? What does it mean that
far? Means if someone says to you something three times, hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do that. Don't do that. So that means you should understand. So because it's being said three times in the verse, it says Lord Shiva could not, Lord Brahma could not, even Lakshmi could not. So why does Shukadev say it like that? Because he's trying to say that, you know, he could have just said Lord Brahma could not attain the position of Mother Yashoda, but because he kept saying they cannot, they cannot, they cannot, then it shows how great she is. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, why could they not attain the position that Mother Yashoda attained? Because all three of them tried to get into Vrindavan. Shiva tried to get into Vrindavan, Brahma tried to get into Vrindavan, and Lakshmi tried to get into Vrindavan. But all three of them could not enter Vrindavan fully. Now, why is that? Because they would not give up their role on their planet. Brahma is attached to being Brahma. Shiva is attached to being Shiva. And Goddess of Fortune is the Lord, the Goddess of Vaikuntha. So she can't break her mood. Because the only way to enter Vrindavan, you have to follow the Brijbasis. And the Brijbasis are cowherd people. So how will a queen, a great queen, how will she become the follower of the cowherd people? How will Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, who are powerful gods, they have to follow the Brijbasis. They couldn't fully do it. That's why they couldn't fully enter the pastimes. So basically what it's saying to us is unless you give up your material identity, you can't enter the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. If you are the Lord of Mill Street, Millpad, then you cannot enter Vrindavan. That's why they could enter. And if we want to enter, it means you have to give up everything in this world, which none of us are ready to do yet. That's why we're still here in this world. We're not ready. We say, yeah, we're ready. Yeah, say, hands up if you want to go back to Krishna. Everyone goes, yeah, I don't like that. But no one's ready to pay the price. The price is everything. We're not ready to pay that yet. So until you're ready, then you can't go back. When you're ready, then you automatically go back. Anything else? Okay. Which verse are we up to? 21. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible by mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization, by severe austerities and penances, or those who consider the body and the self the same. So if you're attached to the body, hands up if you're attached to the body, all of us, right? We can't attain Krishna. And then if you become unattached to the body, which is like a jnani or a yogi, someone very, but because they're unattached to the body, but oh no, I am supreme or whatever is in their consciousness. Prabhupada said the last snare of Maya is that you want to become one with God. So you give up all your material attachments, but then you still have a false spiritual attachment, you can't enter. So it says here, you have to give up everything. Right? False spirituality, which is jnana, or some speculation, mental speculation, and karma, right, which means material desires. Both things, they just bind you, and you can't attain Krishna. While Mother Yashoda was very busy with household affairs, the Supreme Lord Krishna observed twin trees known as Yamalarjuna, which in a former millennium had been the demigod sons of Kuvera. So next chapter we're going to hear about the deliverance of Manigriva and Nalukovara. In their former birth, these two sons known as Nalukovara and Manigriva were extremely opulent and fortunate, but because of pride and false prestige, they did not care about anyone, and thus Narad Muni cursed them to become trees. So this is the next chapter. How Krishna, he delivers even those who are indifferent to him, but when they become purified by the curse of Narada, and they develop some bhakti, then Krishna gives them liberation, gives them mercy, and they become exalted in their situation. So, okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.